Time now for the worship service of our Savior Lutheran Church here on AM 1380 WPHM Port Huron.
Thank you, Iris. Good morning.
Welcome
to the Lord's house this day as we celebrate a glorious day and the presence of God in his house this day as we worship. I want to say something. Those on the radio, WPHM, or website, podcast, WPHM.net, we have a banner that is on the side of the lectern hanging up there. Some of you may remember the story. We have had this banner for approximately 23 years. It was made by the brother of Glenn Ulrich, who is a POW, an American held behind German lines during World War II. Because of starvation and cruelty and abuse in his captivity, when he was liberated from the camp, when he came back to the United States, he had tremendous post-stress issues syndrome. It just was major in his life. But he became a commercial artist. That's a pretty precise position. He was commissioned by the Washington Cathedral, the Episcopal Church in D.C., where a lot of national events take place. He was commissioned to make this banner. Then he made one for our Savior because his brother Glenn was a member here. And for those on radio, its message is very clear for the month of July. Let Christ freedom ring. For that's a freedom that nothing can be bought by blood. The blood has already been shed. And Christ sets us free to be God's people. And that's what that banner represents. So once a year we pull it out, bring it into the circulation of banners, not only to recall what a POW during World War II was capable of doing when he came back to the States after liberation, but the gift that he gave to the church, both for the cathedral and for us here, and many ways he made banners for other people. So it's a good thing. As we worship this day, this is a day when we do not celebrate Eucharist. We call it Service of the Word. Do remind you that on Tuesday night, we have church council, 7 o'clock. We minimize some business. There is one item still to pick up, pending September emphasis with the Synod and our supportive Synod ministries in the month of September. Other than that, we'll be working on focusing and charting the future for us into the next year as a congregation and the leadership of our Savior. So for those who may be listening to the radio who are elected leaders of our Savior, I really want you, even though it's summer, to give special consideration and your time to be here this Tuesday, 7 p.m. Radio broadcast this day sponsored by Mary Patterson, as well as the beautiful flowers on the altar. And so when I see Mary at the second service, I'll personally say thank you, Mary, for your gift to us and our worship service this day. Many things you can read in your now. I'll highlight a few during announcements. This is the time of the Pentecost. We're into the 14th Sunday of the season. And so we begin with confession of sin. If you'll please rise, we're on page 1. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who's full of compassion and mercy, abounding in steadfast love. Amen. Trusting God's promise of forgiveness, let us confess our sin against God and against one another. Eternal God, our Creator, in you we live and move, and we have our being. Look upon us, your children, the work of your hands. Forgive us all of our offenses, and cleanse us from proud thoughts and empty desires. And by your grace, draw us near to you, our refuge and our strength, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Since we are justified by faith, We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit given to us. In the mercy of Almighty God, Christ died for us while we were still sinners. For his sake, God forgives us and you all of your sins. Amen. Our entrance hymn, On Eagle's Wings, it's small simply because there's so many verses and to keep it on one page, we eliminated the musical score so we could get the words in. Okay? On Eagle's Wings, requested by our members.
Thank you.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Our hymn of praise this day is, "Oh, How I Love Jesus." We'll sing verses 1, 3, and 4. 1, 3, 4, please. The Lord be with you. If you'll join me in the prayer of the day there, page 5. God of the covenant, in our baptism you call us to proclaim the coming of your kingdom. Give us the courage you gave the apostles that we may faithfully witness to your love and peace in every circumstance of life. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. If you'll please be seated, we have a reading of the first lesson this day. Check my sheet. Jane? Gary? Okay. Gary, you're the man.
In 597 BC, the priest Ezekiel was removed into exile in Babylon. While there, he received a vision of God appearing majestically on a chariot throne. Today's reading recounts God's commissioning of Ezekiel during this vision. The prophet is to speak God's word to a people unwilling to hear. The first reading comes from the book of Ezekiel, chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. A voice said to me, "O mortal, stand up on your feet, and I will speak with you." And when he spoke to me, a spirit entered into me and set me on my feet. And I heard him speaking to me. He said to me, "Mortal, I am sending you to the people of Israel, to a nation of rebels who have rebelled against me. They and their ancestors have transgressed against me to this very day. The descendants are impudent and stubborn. I am sending you to them, and you should say to them, 'Thus says the Lord God, whether they hear or refuse to hear, for they are a rebellious house, they shall know that there has been a prophet among them. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Gary. Psalm for the day is Psalm 121. We'll read it responsively from page 6. The antiphon, our eyes look to you, O God, until you show us your mercy, is built into the responses at the appropriate place. We begin with the first verse. To you I lift up my eyes, to you enthroned in the heavens. As the eyes of servants look to the hand of their masters, and the eyes of a maid to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to you, O Lord our God. Until you show us your mercy, our eyes look to you, O God, until you show us your mercy. Have mercy upon us, O Lord, have mercy, for we have had more than enough of contempt towards you, too much of the scorn of the indolent rich and of the derision of the proud. Our eyes look to you, O God, until you show us your mercy. We have our second reading by Jane.
Good morning. Christians do not boast of their own accomplishments. Rather, Christian boasting focuses attention on how the power of Christ is present in our lives, especially in times of weakness and vulnerability. No matter what our circumstances in life, Christ's grace is sufficient for us. Our second reading is from 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 2 through 10. I know a person in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up in the third heaven. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that such a person, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. Was caught up into paradise and heard things that are not to be told, that no mortal is permitted to repeat. On behalf of such a one, I will boast. But on my own behalf, I will not boast, except of my weaknesses. But if I wish to boast, I will not be a fool, for I will be speaking the truth. But I refrain from it, so that no one may think better of me than what is seen in me or heard from me, even considering the exceptional character of the revelations. Therefore, to keep me from being too elated, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from being too elated. Three times I appealed to the Lord about this, that it would leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. So I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities for the sake of Christ. For whenever I am weak, then I am strong. This is the word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God.
The gospel acclamation, if you'll please rise, page 8. We speak it together. Hallelujah. I will boast gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Hallelujah. The gospel for the day is Mark 6, beginning with the first verse. Glory to you, O Lord. So Jesus came to his hometown, and the disciples followed him. On the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue. Many who heard him were just astounded at his words. They said, where did this man get all this? What is this wisdom that has been given to him? What deeds of power are being done by his hands? Is not this one the carpenter, the son of Mary? His brother is James and Joseph and Judas and Simon. And are not his sisters here still living in our village? They took offense at Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, prophets are not without honor except in their hometown and among their own kin and in their own house. And he could not do any deed of power there except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and he cured them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. Then he went about the villages. He was teaching. He called the 12 together and he began to send them out two by two. He gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He ordered them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts. Just simply wear sandals and do not put on two tunics. He said to them, wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave the place. If any place will not welcome you, and they refuse to hear what you will say, as you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them. So they went out and proclaimed that all should repent. They cast out many demons. They anointed people with oil, many who were sick, and they were cured. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Dear friends in Christ Jesus, God's grace, God's mercy, God's peace be with us this day. Amen. For those on radio, WPHM, we greet you. If you've listened to us later on a podcast or perhaps a simulcast now, you are listening to us from Our Savior Lutheran and our worship on this Sunday in the season of Pentecost. As we do, we will go through the lessons. I invite you to follow me in the scriptures so you see it firsthand. You know what we are speaking of is from the Word of God. Okay? Ezekiel, page 5. Ezekiel is a prophet of the Lord God, and as it indicated, he will be put into exile. How would you like to get a job on the day you show up for the interview? And they're ready to commission you and give you the position. They say to you, we're going to give you an impossible job. They're not going to like what you're going to be doing. And they're going to do everything they can to silence you and even hurt you. Would you stay around to sign up for the position? Most of us would have common sense and say, not me. I'm not signing on. You think I'm crazy? Yet every prophet that God has chosen to be a mouthpiece for God have accepted the assignment regretfully, fighting, scratching, chewing, and holding back, and refusing to call. And finally, it's like, okay, God, you got me. I surrender. I'll do it. Ezekiel is one of those ones. Ezekiel, when he is commissioned by God to preach to a people who are so against God that anything he would say, they would just turn it around and use it not only against God, but against the vessel who was bringing the word. Has that ever happened in history after the period of the prophets? Absolutely. Throughout the history, not only in America, but throughout the world, wherever God has raised up prophets to speak faithfully about peace, justice, salvation, God as central to life and importance, there's always been flack and criticism and negativity and persecution. It comes with the territory. Those of us who bear the name of Jesus Christ should not accept or expect people to openly raise their arms and say, oh, we're glad you're here, though it happens in some nations. But once they get into the meat of the gospel and the challenge of the faith, when it says you've got to change your life, it's like it's a backing out process. I could accept some of this, but I don't want all that. And that's where we get into trouble with God. Because we like to DIY, right? Do it yourself, home repairs, plumbing repairs, and religion. I had somebody tell me yesterday that, 2 days before God's preparing me for the sermon. This, oh, I used to go to church. And I don't have anything against the faith, but I don't find any value coming to worship in a public common setting. I just try to live a good life. But you know what? I think the problem with this world is that people don't have core values and they don't learn them. I said, how do you think they learn them? The very way you're rejecting them. By refusing to hear the word of God and what, changing your own interpretation of what that word is, because you don't want to hear the real word. You want to have something that makes you feel good, warm, and fuzzy, but not challenged, convicted, and sentenced so that we can have freedom in Jesus Christ. See, you can't have the good of forgiveness, as Luther would say, without hearing the hammer of God, the law. And it convicts us and it challenges us to recognize our need for the Savior, okay? If we didn't need a Savior, we could all do the DIY approach. I'll do my own religion. No, God's not into a service plan like that. You invented that one. Run it by the Master. See if that's his plan. As he has sent prophets to say to his people throughout history, this is the way it is. Now, I know you're not going to want to accept it, but this is the way it is. And I will not change it because you don't like it. Okay. So, there we are. So Ezekiel is given that kind of job assignment. And Ezekiel does his best, as only he could do as a man against odds against him and evil and denial of God and the power of God by people who want to live in the darkness of their sin. I like it how the New Testament, the Apostle Paul will say, they knew what was right. God has revealed it to all people, but they chose to live in darkness. Yeah. He's talking about us. We choose to live in ignorance, thinking ignorance is bliss, and ignorance is our excuse. And God says there is no excuse. You want to play deaf, dumb, and blind, you're on your own. You want to look in the mirror and see yourself as I see you, not as you see you, as God sees us. It's a stark reality. And then the judgment comes through the scriptures. It says, God looked down from heaven, and he could not find one righteous person. Not one. So if you think you're the exception, God says, wrong, you're not. There is no exception. Good people, sure. People who are righteous in the eyes of God, no. We are sinners by thought, word, and deeds, as we say in our confessional statements. In the second reading, the Apostle Paul, as you look at the text, page 7 and 8, still as it was last week, 2 Corinthians, as Paul further goes on after talking about stewardship last week and life in Christ, he says, you know, pride and bragging is not part of being a Christian. And yet I hear so many Christians brag and are proudful that they're better than other people. Do you ever hear Christians like that? They compare themselves to what maybe socially and behaviorally is sinful by human or divine standards. In the course of that, they always come out smelling like a rose because they choose more sinful people rather than looking at themselves and their sin. And it's like, you know, no, this is not how it's done. You look at God, you look at Jesus Christ, and you say, do I measure up? Am I the person God has made me to be? Am I fully the manifestation of Christ living in me? Not in my neighbor. In me. And that's where it's personalized. And so Paul says, you know, some people brag. But you know what? I'm not going to brag, but if I could brag, I would brag.
I like his double entendre there. Oh, I could really lay it on you, what I have gone through for the sake of the gospel. But being a humble person that I am, I'm not going to go there. But you know my story. You know what I have endured for the sake of the gospel, the tar, the feathering. I have gone through suffering. I'm in prison now, and I will die for this gospel. So when I speak not as a disinterested party, but a fully vested person who understands the consequences of life and faith in Jesus Christ. I dare say most Christians in the American setting or Western world, most, not all, but most probably do not understand what suffering is like. To be criticized, ostracized, sometimes vandalized, sometimes losing jobs for your values, and understanding that there are consequences if you are faithful to Christ and you take up your cross to follow him, you're going to butt against this world. You may want to play footsie with the world and kind of cozy up to them, but like Jesus says, what does it gain a person if you should gain the whole world, but you lose your own soul? That's not the party you should be cozying up to. The party we should be getting closer to is God and Jesus Christ. And there, to find ourselves, how short we fall from the glory of God, and how God must continually work with us. You get into a passage, which I think some people can identify with. I'll give you a kind of superficial understanding that I'll go into the historical setting for Paul. And that is the thorn in the flesh. He says, three times I prayed to the Lord that this condition I'm experiencing would be taken away from me. And all I get is silence or rejection. Now, isn't God supposed to answer the prayers of his believers? Should Paul reject, like Job, God as a power in his life? Because God forsake him, therefore I forsake you, God? Buzz off. No, Paul says no. Rather, I've learned something. This is what God told me, Paul says. I've asked for his help. Take it away. God came back to me repeatedly and says, no, Paul, no, Don, no, put in your name. I'm not taking it away. Well, don't you care about me? Don't you love me? Would you let a child suffer? I am not taking it away, Paul. Live with it. Because when you feel that pain, when you feel that discomfort, that limitation, that disability, whatever it is, or even a death sentence of cancer, okay, you finally kind of say, I'm here by the grace of God. God will renew me. God will strengthen me. I pray more often, Paul says, because I'm made mindful of this thorn in my flesh. Believe me, let's go to the historical side of this. He did not get a rose needle thorn into his foot, and therefore, wearing no sandals, you know what it's like in the desert. Well, they don't have rose bushes. They get a needle. Thorn. No, no, no. Thorn in the flesh is a pain and a condition Paul experienced that had no remedy that God would permit to get to Paul. Scholars surmise that this was a result
when the Lord Jesus appeared to him on the road to Damascus, Acts 9, and he revealed himself as he was going to Damascus, Syria, to kill Christians. Jesus Christ appeared to him on the road in a blinding flash, and he was struck blind. For 3 days, he tells us in his biography, both in Galatians, plus also in the book of Acts, he is struck blind. And then when the Christian there, head of the church in Damascus, came to him and preached to him Christ, washed his eyes, his vision was restored. The scholars believe he had a sight impairment, residual from that experience. And you could see how these words, when you experience this, Paul, you're going to remember me. Yeah, I saw you on the road. That was you. Yes, Lord. I am your slave. I am your servant, bound to you in your call to me. So whatever it was, it's not as important as how he responded and what God said to him. And that is, every condition is not fixed because you're a believer. Even if you're a church leader, a wonderful preacher, and you're winning souls to Jesus, you still are human. And you still have human conditions until the day you die and we graduate. These last 3 weeks, I've been working with people who are getting closer to the end of their life's journey, as they've been told by doctors. And I listen to their story, and I hear so much faith. And I hear their understanding, God-infused, Holy Spirit-inspired. It says, you know, I've asked and I've prayed, and I'm not getting any assistance. I'm not using medicine. I'm using prayer. But I'm not seeing God's healing in the land of the living. And we both shared that graduation is coming and that we all live under a death sentence from our first breath in this earth. And that we all know we're all terminal. Unless you have a secret on the market, no one'll sell it. But a lot of elixirs were sold in the Wild West. And it's just local weed. It's not the real stuff. When we're facing mortality, and we pleaded with God, facing crisis, we pleaded with God, facing chronic illness, we pleaded with God, unbearable pain, pleaded with God. But I'll tell you what, every time you go back to God, as I've experienced those pains in my life, and I say, Lord, I would like this to be diminished, if not totally eradicated, but not my will, thy will to be done. And just submit again. Lord, you're Lord. I'm servant. Let's get the order right. You're Lord. You're master. Not me. Carry me through this until the end of my journey. That's how we can be brothers and sisters to one another, to your friends who are experiencing hardship and pain. You know, when you hear their story, and please do, don't interrupt them. Hear the story. But then go on to say to them when they give you opportunity and if they will hear you. Not that, oh, time heals everything. Oh, it gets better. That's Pollyanna stuff. God is with you in this time. I've shared with you many times before over the years. I've been with you as pastor. I image a God who, when he hears the suffering of his people, whether it's immigrants and separation of families, whether it's illnesses and terminal illness, I see a God who sits on the curb with people who are suffering, puts his head in his hand and says, I feel your pain. I do not believe, like the song that came out during Desert Storm, from a distance. That is not from a distance. That is on the curb with me crying. Because he has to submit to what he has let happen not evil, but he permits not to intervene natural and conditions that we brought on ourselves until the end of the story, and the resurrection is there. We begin to understand that even suffering has a purpose, and that is to draw us closer to God, not separate us from God. The human spirit would separate us. It's the Holy Spirit that brings us closer to our God. Then you go to the gospel. On page 9 in the scriptures and 10 from Mark, Jesus is in his own hometown. You heard the reading a few weeks ago when his mother and his brothers and sisters have tried to call him out of the house because he's a public embarrassment. They want to shut him up. He says, but who's my mother, my father, my brothers, my sisters? But he who hears the word of God and does it. Well, that's a shunning of his birth family, if I ever heard one. That means all of us are part of his family who believe and trust in his word. Okay, that's what he said to me. And then you come to the text where people are saying, who is this whippersnapper? We know him. He's a carpenter's son. Who is he? He didn't go to school. He wasn't a rabbi's son. He didn't get educated in the Torah. He's just a hick. And Jesus says, oh, you don't get it? You haven't heard my words. You have judged me by externals, not by the content. And isn't that the human situation? We judge people by the externals, not the content of their life. To get to the content of a person's soul takes time, patience, and non-judgmentalism. Very few can do it. A lot try and pretend, but very few can achieve that objective. Jesus had a way to get to the crux of the issue, whether it was the Syrophoenician woman a week ago, all the people we were hearing about during the Pentecost season. Jesus encounters people because he hears the inner story when he looks upon his people. And he understands their real need, not what they think they need. And so likewise, the gospel of Jesus Christ, to be transmitted person to person, we have to be that sensitive. We have to have our antenna up. We have to hear the signals that people are giving to us wherever we are. And not give them pat answers. I cringe when people give people pat answers. It's almost like you're so insecure, you can't even accept reality. Death is real. It's final. It's sad. It's a curse. Don't tell me it's going to get better. Tell me God is going to make it better. Now we got connection. And it's in that honesty with humanity that people will see Christians as real people, not phonies, not fakes. And not the people who go to church in fine clothing, but inside are ravenous wolves, I think is the way Jesus described us. To understand, to be caring, is to be risky. And to be judged by the world, like Jesus was judged. So he couldn't find acceptance, receptivity in his own village, so he goes out and sends his disciples out, two by two, so that they would go out and proclaim the kingdom of God. You and I are those disciples. You may say, I don't know what to say, I just blubber. Well, maybe that's a good place to begin. So you don't know. Admit you are just a vessel and you are bearing a message, and God will do the rest. That's what a prophet is. Ezekiel was judged by his life, and you know, every prophet, hey, who are you to tell us, the kings of Israel, what is wrong? The power of God has really been given to his church. If we're impotent, it's not because of God. It's because we haven't asked God or waited for God to give us the power. He says, knock and it shall be given to you. Seek, you will find. Nobody who asks for the Holy Spirit will be denied it. You will be given more than abundance if you just seek and knock and wait. The God of grace, who caught us in our faith in the waters of our baptism, calls us the faith every day of our life that God gives us extension for, use you as a powerful instrument, doing that which is right and good in the eyes of God, not just filling your days with activity, but things that are worthy of the kingdom. Amen. And now may the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Spirit be with us, remain with us always. Amen. Hymn of the day, fitting along with that, Seek Ye First the Kingdom of God, page 10. We sing the hymn requested by members. We continue with prayer.
Growing in faith and discipleship, we give thanks for God's merciful compassion as we pray for the church, the world, and all in need. Lord God, equip all your faithful people for the work of mission. When we are empty-handed, give us partners in ministry. Help us to speak boldly of your promises without reservation or fear. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord God, you breathe life into the dust of the earth. Bless the land and all who work it. Bring relief to areas of drought and famine. Send healing rains and cooling breezes to places scorched by sun and heat. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord God, when the nations are rebellious, raise up prophets and leaders to proclaim your way of justice. Provide for the needs of refugees, immigrants, asylum seekers, and exiles. Protect all who live in areas of war and conflict. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord God, your grace is sufficient to bring wholeness to human weakness. Restore hope to those suffering hardships, persecutions, and calamities. Strengthen all who are fragile in body, mind, or spirit. Today we pray for Iris Cook, Carrie Harper, Daniel Baisley, Ed O'Connor, Marion Thomas, Maria Rump, John Pinnell, Phyllis Akers, Joyce Wright, Cindy Henneren and Brianna, Mike Parker, Karen Kloss, Don Juskowski, Christine Ogarano, and Etta Rep. We also pray for those serving our nation, Tristan Morrison, Jamie Soulier, and Rob Nolan, those returning safely from their services at home and overseas, and those returning into our communities. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord God, renew our commitment to the work of hospitality. Help us to offer a caring welcome to visitors and to those returning to the church. Help us to live examples of your grace and your generosity. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord God, you equip disciples throughout the ages to proclaim your kingdom. Lead us by faith until every weakness of this world has been made perfect in the power of your everlasting glory. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Gracious God, we lift to you these prayers and the prayers of our hearts, trusting in your everlasting love and mercy through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
This day we sing the Lord's Prayer, please. For the work of the Lord's church. Once again, if somebody's picked us up and not at the beginning, church council, Tuesday night, 7 o'clock, need you all there. Church picnic was changed, if you saw in the emails, if you gave us your email address. If not, the sheets are in the pews. Give us your updated email address so that we can keep in touch electronically in between services and newsletters, okay? We need that. Church picnic was scheduled for the 11th, but don't be confused, because erase that. It was in conflict with the Blue Water Parade. And many of our people are dancers and in the parade, so we changed it so that they would not be excluded from that event, being members of this congregation. So we have made it now July 18th. We ask you to bring a chair, a dish to pass, and it's got to take care of the grilling, and we'll meet at the Pikes on Ponderosa Church Directory and call for information. Since we're on the radio, I'm not going to say too much more, but please join us for fellowship. Come around 5:30. Scott says we'll eat at 6. I think we can stay to 8 or 9 before he kicks us out. No. But for fellowship time, please come and join us. Not far away, close. I know some in this congregation and all congregations that they don't do those things. Well, do them. All it takes is a will. You will do them. A chance to get together. Because one of the objectives of us having a common coffee hour is to bring congregation 8:30, congregation 11 together. That's what a church picnic does. And since we have not having a coffee hour until Labor Day, all the more reason to take advantage of these opportunities, okay? So, July 18th. We are still minus, at least unless somebody on Alder Guild can update me since I was given this information, We are minus one pewter liner. Elder Gill, can you update me on that? Is that still true? Okay. The liner fits inside the brass fixture on the altar to hold the flowers on a weekly basis. The liner is put out there for people to take their flowers and put in another vessel. And I'm sure it was inadvertent. Somebody may have taken it home, but forgot to bring it back. But we need it for the rotation to the flower niche, because that's how they fill the flowers. So if Elder Guild or just an individual of the congregation took it home and accidentally left it there, please bring it back. I'll tell you what, sneak it back in. We won't ask any questions. Okay, just bring it back to us. Its home is here. It gets lonely without us. You have a list of things in the inside of your now, of things that we need throughout the summer. I commend to you the National Night Out. I said I would start this week and next week asking for free will donations for the bicycle. We opted to two bicycles because there was a deficit among the churches of two bicycles. So I put ourselves out on a limb. One of the members at the 8:30 at the 11 o'clock service last week came by my house this last week and handed me a $100 bill to buy a bicycle. He said, this should take care of the extra bicycle. I said, thank you very much. Much appreciated. So we ask donations. We need $85. If we can get it this Sunday, I don't have to ask next week. How do you do it? You can use a pew envelope, just write bicycle, cash, check, today, so that we can get this done real quick. The National Night Out is Tuesday, August 7th. It's in our Vacation Bible School week. We will need 10 to 15 volunteers. We need face painters. We have Tony, who switched from being a face painter to be pulling apart the frozen ice pops. That's it. I can't eat them. They're high in sugar and I'm diabetic. So ice pops. So we need you to do a variety of things. So let me know if you can be a volunteer. All the downtown churches are working together. Many, yes. Yes, a mingler. Definition of a mingler is somebody who just looks like you're lost and stray. No, somebody just to walk around with no purpose except to connect with people, skin to skin. And some of you have that naturally, and some of you find that difficult. We understand there are differences of people. So you minglers in the congregation, we need you to identify yourself so you can walk around and say hi to people. And you'll recognize people you didn't even know who are around here. So we need you, okay? You don't have to do a lot of work. Just say hi, shake hands, say I'm from our Savior. Okay, many things, read, respond to the ones appropriate for you. Our worship continues as we sing our Take My Life, Let It Be, and we'll sing the first and sixth verse, 1 and 6. Please rise. Come on.
Merciful God, you open wide your hand and satisfy the need of every living thing. You have set this feast before us. Open our hands to receive it. Open our hearts to embrace it.
You've been
open
listening
our
to
lives
the
to live
Sunday
it.
Morning worship service this. Of Our Savior Lutheran Church. Begins each Sunday at 8:30 here on WPHM, Port Huron.